From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Chris.
Man, oh man. You know, that beat, I tell you what, that beat is so exciting, but it's so much better during the season, don't you think? It's going to be real good this year because we got one extra game, so that's cool. Hey, it's your godfather, it's Christopher himself, the one professor only, your Bleed Blue man. Hey, look, you know, this has been quite a time, man. It's been quiet on the Giants front, as you know. Right now, this is the OTA show, and probably one of maybe two or three, I don't know, however long it goes. But listen, it has been a really, really good time for KGYR right now, man. And these things are, well, you know, the Rangers are going through their thing. Right now, New York is a fire. Oh, my God, with the New York Knicks, they're in the playoffs. They're doing okay. They're 1-1 in their series. But the real star of that series is the fans. They came back like it's 1994 all over again. Man, you swear Patrick Ewing was in the building this time. It's just incredible. And so that's the talk of New York sports right now. And, of course, when I get a chance, I want to holler at my man Carl. Lady Blue has returned to me. Thank you. It's my blue eyes. And yes, Drake Graham is on the line today. We got a host of other people calling in expeditiously as they do. 929-477-4171 is our digit here. Everybody knows that. I say that a million times a show. Let me see. What else did I want to talk about? I wanted to say something. Oh, yeah. Oh, before anything else, our number is 929-477-4171. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the social media, the Bleed Blue Show, at Bleed Blue Show, BleedBlueShow.com, Bleed Blue Show, everybody bleeding blue, left, right, left. It's just about bleeding blue. So this is a Giant show. And, you know, still we have to get to that real soon. We got to talk about what we've seen in camp so far, which has actually been dull. I've been trying to watch the last 2 days. And it's no pads, and it's tryouts, and it's pretty much – kind of somber compared to other years. I don't know if that's good or bad. Normally there's some drama, but we haven't had any. So this is pretty good. Nonetheless, Carl is on the line. What's up, bro? Say hi to everyone, please.
Well, good evening, Chris. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm doing mighty peachy. I bleed blue all the way. Like yourself, I take it.
Yes. Congratulations going out to the Islanders. Congratulations to the Knicks last night.
Yes,
can we not spit on people,
please?
That would be greatly appreciated. You know, I mean, man, I know folks are hyped up, but can we please not spit on anybody? Is that too much to ask?
Oh, man, I want to talk to you about that coming back around. Let me get the other callers. Let me get a couple of other people in. I need to ask you about that, and I need to ask you about one more thing that will endear everyone at KGYR, by the way. I got to ask you these questions. I got to ask you. Carl, you are the man. Hold on one second. Dre Graham, you on the line? Is that you? Hello? Where are we at? Dre Graham?
Yeah, we're good. Bleed Blue.
Oh, man. All right. How you feeling, man?
I'm all right, man, just doing my traveling. Work be having me everywhere.
Oh, you didn't take me with you, so don't talk to me. I'm cutting you off right now. All right, that's it. I'll be right back. My blue wife, the incredible Lady Blue, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, my Bleed Blue family and my Bleed Blue husband. Long time no talk to.
What's going on? I haven't talked to you in a long time.
It's been crazy. It's been crazy.
I know. I see your pictures looking all kinds of good. Yes.
Been busting a move, hanging out with my Bleed Blue brother, Dre, for a little while. He came to visit in Jacksonville.
Cool.
All right. Ready to talk some Giants and watch some games, that's all. Getting ready.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to swing into that in a minute. But I have to get one second. I have to get into another sport for just a second with my man Carl here. Carl, are you there, sir? Because I need you to explain something to me.
Yes, sir.
So tell me about the New York Yankee no-hitter last week that I'm sure you attended in person, live down in Texas. I need to know what your experience was like. I'm sorry, Giant fans. I got to bump it a second. I got to hear about these pinstripes. I got the experience itself. What is up? How was it, man?
So it was my since I've moved here, it was my first that whole week was my first Globe Life Field experience. So that was a fun time. Everything that goes around with that. But that night was interesting because I remember around the fifth inning, and if you've noticed, baseball has been absolutely terrible this season because nobody can get any hits at all. So
yes, I know
part of my viewing of these games has been kind of jaded by the fact that nobody gets any hits. But
right.
Around the fifth inning, I remember saying, I texted somebody, I said, you might want to tune in here for this because I got a feeling something might be happening. And then the sixth inning, same thing. Seventh inning. Once it got to the eighth inning, I was like, okay, something is up here. I'm like, I don't know how this is going to end, but I got. And then he got those three outs to go to the ninth. And I remember going to the bathroom in between while the Yankees were at bat in the top of the ninth. I remember for whatever reason my heart was beating a little bit faster because I was just like,
yep.
Oh my god, this might actually happen. And the inning, that bottom half of that ninth inning went by pretty fast. I think he only threw about 10 pitches in the inning. And mm-hmm. when he got the no-hitter, it was almost kind of matter of fact. There was not really any drama. I think there was one play by Wade in right field that was, you know, that might have been a little bit, you know, hairy. But for the most
right.
part, it was pretty, you know, there weren't, you know, sometimes those no-hitters, you might see like a crazy play or something like that. There wasn't really any of that. It just sort of was like matter of fact and was an exciting night. You know, it's funny, after the game was over, if you you haven't been down to Dallas yet or to that stadium.
No,
I'll
be there
live, which is a big – yes, you are invited. I hope to see you in October the 10th. But Texas Live,
yes.
which is the big spot that they have in between the baseball stadium and the football stadium, you know, was playing music all night. And the DJ there, I think the DJ's name was Pierre DFW, I remember off the top of my head on Instagram. He was able to treat us by playing Sinatra, New York, New York.
Get
in
out of here,
Texas
really?
Live for all of us. It was a tremendous
man.
Experience for anybody that was there that night. You don't get that in many cities. They treat,
that's
you know,
perfect.
They treat outsiders like us. In some of these cities, you know, like we're, you know, like we're creatures, like we're aliens,
yeah.
you know, they, you know,
yeah,
but on that night we were welcome and it was a tremendous, tremendous experience.
That's Carl, everybody. Wow. That's great. That's great, man. That's my, you know, the Yankees are my squad. I can say that easily on this particular show because it's another sport. So I love it. Thank you, homie. Again, 929-477-4171. OTAs. All right. Well, not a lot to see, everyone. The Giants added a lot of new players this offseason, and I don't know. We're just going to have to wait a little longer to see what they look like in a practice setting, man. There was no pads or anything today. Today was the third day of voluntary offseason team activities. That's what OTA stands for. And up at the Quest Diagnostic Center, there was a lot of players that did not show up, which is their right. You know, Kenny Holiday didn't show up. Galladay, rather, didn't show up. Kadarius Toney didn't show up yet. He's going to be there. They'll be all right. Lorenzo Carter, whose job is in jeopardy, he didn't show up either. I didn't see Leonard Williams or Dexter Lawrence or Bradbury or none of these guys, man. I didn't see Darnell. I wanted to see Darnell Holmes really badly. But I didn't see him. And it should be noted, you know, Saquon's coming back, but I didn't see him either. I didn't see a lot of people. Kyle Rudolph and O'Shane Jimenez, they're also rehabbing. They were there, but they were inside. So, of course, I don't know any of that. I can't get any of that. The secondary is pretty much missing everybody, you know, everyone. I saw, but I can't tell you what they did. I saw the offensive lines. I saw who showed up, which is a good thing. You know, I saw Andrew Thomas, Lemieux. There was Pert was there. Hernandez was there. Soldier was there. What I like, let me tell you what I like before we go on to the rest of the callers. I like the fact that the projected starters are all returning, and this is crucial for team chemistry. That's what I like. You know, no matter what the hell the performance is, that's a big shot in the arm when you could get everybody back at least face to face after a year of, you know, whatever that was last year, just barely missing the playoffs. And we'll pretty much go from there. All right. Today, the Giants signed Ellison Smith, or not today, it's a couple of days ago, but it was announced today. And just the people that are getting signed, look, my favorite guy, Elijah Rule, was signed. Just about all the rookies were signed. You know, Johnson, Williams, Brightwell. They're signed. I love it. It's a good thing. Wouldn't you say, Carl? It's a good thing. So that's where we're at right now. What I also would like to mention real quick before we go on is, and I need to do something a little different here. I want to do some kind of I'm going to mention a name. I want you guys to give me a taste of what you think. Just, you know, play GM for a second, just off general principle. And I'll mention a name, and I want you guys just to, you know, tell me what you think of them. And I'm gonna start with Lady Blue. As far as what they'll add to our team in terms of I don't know, value, man. I mean, going forward, we have no, hey, look, the sky's the limit, you know. And so how do you see this working? That's all I'm going to ask. By the way, everyone, 929-477-4171. This is the OTA show for the Bleed Blue show. Lady Blue, Kenny Golladay is here.
I'm happy. I can't wait to see them. The biggest thing for me that I want to see is to limit the damn mistakes, meaning Mr. Butterfingers. He will always be on my shit list. Yeah. He will forever be on my shit list, so I want to see him do better, okay? I need to see better performances. And not for nothing, I would love to see us go 6-0 against our division because I hate our division. I hate everybody in it. I mean, you know how I am with our division. I hate them all. But I want to see... Yes, I need to see improvement. That's my biggest thing. I mean, we did a whole lot of shit on the offseason. We did a whole lot of stuff in the draft. Now we need to pull it together, work as a united front, and the key word to this year, finish the games. Not like we have a big lead and then blow it. We need to play a full 60 minutes of football. We need to finish strong and play together. I mean, I can't wait to see what we can do, but I need to see improvement, and that's my biggest thing. I mean, we did a lot of good things, but pulling it together is going to be the hard
thing. They got this thing going on, tight end camp or something. I forgot the entire premise of it. You know, and you got Rudolph is there, of course, Ingram. Who else did we just sign? I'm having a brain fart. But all these, it's tight end camp. Okay, that worries me. And anybody can jump in on this one. Any one of you three, that worries me because that's telling me that the faith in Evan Ingram. Look, when Jason Witten was at in Dallas tight end camp, they knew who their guy was, and they knew who his backup was. End of story. Now they got camp, which almost implies that, hey, listen, we don't have total faith in you, but the job is kind of open. Let's see what everyone got. And they mask it as, oh, well, you know, it's just a new experiment. What do you think about that, Dre? Tight end camp.
As far as the tight end, Evan Engram, it's kind of...
There's 1,000 on the roster now.
Who?
It seems like... Wait a minute. Really? It's like a... Well, we got Evan Engram. We've got Kyle Rudolph.
What's his name again?
We got Caden Smith. We got Kelvin Benjamin. We got Talolio. Whatever his name is. We got Rice and John. And we got this guy named Griffin Smith. Oh, we got another one. Last month, I forgot his name. It was, Cole something. He came from San Francisco. So there's like maybe 6 tight ends in camp, maybe 7. So what do you think about that, man? What they trying to do? What do you think? Good. I'm sorry for you. Good.
I don't know, man. I think they maybe it's a scare tactic to keep Mr. Butterfingers from driving passes. Put it this way: if he don't perform this year, he's definitely going. But look how many tight ends we got.
Butterfingers, let me tell you something. I had nightmares about that drop. You guys hear me? I had nightmares. Lady Blue, you know how I felt about that. I had nightmares about that. I was so beside myself. And put it this way. Steve was so – I couldn't contain him because I was too mad myself. That was sickening. In a way, and this is just me, okay? I'm sorry I'm going back here, but I have to announce it. It ruined the season in a way because you couldn't trust the guy anymore. And – Carl, I know you. I see you through the phone, man. You give me that look like, okay, don't start with that again. But, but I'm sorry. It pissed me off. And it did something to our confidence, man. And I don't know. But I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dre, man. Or anybody. But this tight end school.
Who cares about tight end camp as long as it works and they know how to block and catch the damn ball?
Yeah, I basically don't have too much to say about that, but what I just said, so, hey, we'll see what happens.
I mean, it seems to be just based on those names I just read off, that the only complete one is probably Kyle Rudolph, but he's seen better days. He's seen better days, you know. I mean, he missed the last four games last year. He only caught like 28 passes. I don't know whether that's an improvement or what. I don't know. Caden Smith, I always thought, should have been playing more last year. That's just me. But yet, Evan Engram got to the Pro Bowl. That's a head scratcher. I don't know. I was hoping you guys could explain it to me, but I almost
got into an argument on Facebook over that too.
What was the argument?
Somebody tried to tell me that a Giants fan tried to tell me that Evan Engram did good, and the reason why he made it to the Pro Bowl was because the tight ends on Kansas City and the tight end on Tampa Bay didn't go. I said, so you mean to tell me that Evan Engram was a top 3 tight end? That's why he didn't go, because the first 2 was in the Super Bowl.
No.
Yeah, that's what they were saying. I was like,
I
flat out saying, you an idiot. That's what I told him. You an idiot.
I don't mean to beat on him, but truth of the matter is, he drops too many. It's just not that one. He's dropped a lot of passes that he can't be counted on to be a clutch player. And I'm so happy that the staff has decided to surround Daniel Jones with more weapons. That's another guy I'll be getting into in a second. With more weapons like Galladay and Ross, you know, to help out in that regard, man. You know, and also, you know, the rookies themselves. Any thoughts, anybody on Danny Shelton and Odin and Adoree Jackson and guys like that that helped just was fine to help bolster our defense. Anyway, just jump in. No one wants to jump in. Carl, where are you? this is like Bueller.
I went away when there was talk of the tight end that shouldn't be named on this program. So you know, I had to step away for the vote.
We'll call from now on.
My apology.
It's all good. What was I saying? Oh, cornerbacks. Adoree Jackson. Who else was I thinking about? Just the acquisitions altogether, man. I mean, we got Galladay, we got Jackson, Kyle Rudolph showed up, Ryan Anderson helps out with the linebacking core. I think he'll be okay. You know, again, that's just more. That's another body in camp. Somewhat effective, I'd say. What's your thoughts on that? Any thoughts on the linebacker?
Well, have they made any meaningful improvements? I would say no. Now, that presupposes that you believe that the current core as it stands right now is good enough to go into the next season. That is up for debate right now. You know, you're always looking for improvement. The only thing I'm always a little uncomfortable, and I probably should push back a little bit on something you were talking about earlier, Chris, is sort of the idea that, you know, they're just going to get better just because, right? Like you were mentioning about bringing back the starters that were on the roster last season. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
If the guys that you're talking about, that's a good thing if the guys that you're talking about are good.
Right.
Like, I'm not a fan of bringing back mediocre players and trying to make mediocre players better. I'm not a fan of that. I'd rather replace the mediocre ones with better ones and work from there.
Okay. So you could start with you could definitely start with Azeez Olajuwon. Okay. We have a beast here. He's great on a run. He probably will need to improve on his pass coverage skills. But with his quickness, the way he rips and the way he bursts and those long ass arms he has, Carl, I think we got something really fantastic in the second round of this draft. I really do. I can't believe he lasted as long as he did, but I think we're onto something. That's an improvement, wouldn't you say? Somewhat.
Well, we have to actually see him perform. What I don't like doing, because you know everybody does this after the draft. Everybody says that their draft was the best draft ever existed, which I've always been uncomfortable with. If you notice, like no team says that they had a bad draft. Clearly, the data is going to show out that about 75% of these players that were drafted are not going to be anything. So I have to take that data into account when I'm evaluating any rookie that is coming in here, and any rookie that's on any team. You know, the flame out rate and the success rate is so low relative to the amount of players that are drafted that for me to just on an honest level just say, oh, this guy's going to be good, or I think this guy's going to be good. Well, I would hope so, but history suggests that the chances are, you know, think about what you're saying right now. Did you say this? Did we say the same thing about Lorenzo Carter 4 years ago? The answer is probably yes.
I didn't.
But the
results have not matched the hype.
So that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying we're excited as fans, but we also should sort of take into account history and use that as a guide.
Okay. Fair enough. Lady Blue, anything to add? Is anybody that you've seen that you're excited about or hopeful going forward?
I'm hopeful for Galladay. I really am. I'm glad we got him. I just My biggest concern is DJ having enough time to find all these weapons that we have. That was our issue last year. So that's what I'm looking for. Like we've always said in every show that you can listen to, it doesn't matter who we have as weapons. If they can't make the time for our quarterback to find them, it's useless. So that is my biggest concern. I mean, they can look great in the OTAs because they're, to me, they're just screwing around. I mean, they're practicing. I mean, until we actually see what they can do with full pads and another team against them, we don't know a damn thing. I mean, we can all say, yeah, they're God, they're great, they're this. And then they could be a total bust when they get on the field. So, like I said, we just need to wait and see. But speaking of rumors, though, have you heard that Brandon Jacobs wants to come out of retirement?
Yes, I did. I did. I wasn't going to bring it up, but yes, it's all over the damn sports news right now. They said, he wants to come back on defense, I think. And he was inspired. The line that got me was, I thought it was a joke at first until I actually saw him, you know, his quote, and I went, oh, sheesh. And he said he was inspired. He said that if Tim Tebow can come back and reincarnate himself, then he could too. And I went, oh, my God, what makes these guys think they can come back after 6 years? It's sort of like what Sugar Ray Robinson, I mean, Sugar Ray Leonard once said. He said, the problem with coming back a lot is that when you come back, punches hurt. You know?
Well, when I saw that, I messaged Derek Ward. I said, so are you coming back too?
Really? Let's get the whole where's Bradshaw? Bring him too.
Let's get Earth, Wind, and Fire back.
That's insane.
Didn't Sugar Ray Leonard retire like 9 times? But he only came back for paydays, though.
Let me tell you, he came back 1, 2, 3 times. Four times. And he kept saying, oh, man, it's harder. This is my last time. He must have had 4 retirement speeches.
That's like Larry King's marriage.
And he kept doing it. I can't see that, man. It's not enough love. Not enough love. Okay, sorry. This is a giant joke. Woo! Anyway, okay. Listen.
Sorry. My apologies.
I want to talk about what you guys are talking about right now. I wouldn't say there was any significant signings for the offensive line. The names are familiar. I think the Giants are working on faith, you know, with Shane Lemieux, who struggled as a pass protector last year. He's tough. He's blue collar, you know. My man Gates, you know, he held it down. He was strong. He was tough. You know, no experience at the position. He jumped in there and he rocked the house. You know, and I understand, right? They just who did they sign? They had an undrafted rookie free agent in Brett Hegel, and they also signed another guy from the Colts, so Jonathan Harrison, as sort of like it's a reserve future contract. So I guess that means insurance in this particular case. Big dude, 6'4", 300. That doesn't tell me. That I don't know if that's a significant jump in expertise at that position at all, everyone. I think they have a lot of faith in the Gates. That's what it reads to me. What do you guys think? Oh, let me bring somebody on, by the way. DB Nation himself, the madman, the meat grinder himself.
What's going on, sir?
Hey, you know what? I got to ask a question. I want to ask a question. Everybody, Lady Blue, Dre Graham, and Carl is on the line too, DB.
What's going on, everyone?
We didn't really.
Good evening.
We didn't really make a big splash in free agency or even really in the draft signing anybody to the line. I was just talking about the fact that the names are familiar. Andrew Thomas is back in his second year.
Matt Peart is back for his second year. Soldier's back, but I don't know. I guess as a right tackle, okay. I'm gonna stay right there with that because I'm leaving the commentary up to you guys. And the guards are the same, you know, Lemieux, Hernandez. They signed a guy named Zach Fulton from the Texans. I don't know much about him after that, but you know, and see, Lady Blue had just talked about, hey, look, Daniel Jones could probably get a bump up in performance. Should he have, you know, it's good that he has the weapons, but damn, he needs some protection. What's your take on all of that, man? Because we didn't sign any. There's nobody that I can say is, oh yeah, well this guy's coming on. He may make the difference. What's your take on that? Just an observation point.
Well, I'm gonna just have to piggyback pretty much off of what you just summarized and say that, you know, there are no standout studs that were picked up in free agency, but.
Nope.
You know, to be honest, you don't need standout studs if you have a collective group who can make it happen because, you know, as much as I hate New England, they've made it happen for so many years with a bunch of no-name guys that knew how to play together. So I got to give credit where credit's due. You know, they had a system and a whole bunch of these no-name, no real superstars besides Brady, you know. But, I mean, they made it happen. Now, there is no excuse. I still won't say his name. To me, he still dumps the Dan. There's no way. You're in your third year, sir. Third year wearing this number eight for the Giants, and you're stinking it up. Look, a lot of people are still giving him a pass. I'm not. I didn't give him a pass since day one. Third year, this will be when Saquon comes back. Receiver-wise, all this stuff. Don't even get me started on Evan Engram because he doesn't count. But all of this talent, you put any other quarterback in the universe on this New York Giants team, and that person will be successful. Dumpster Dan, I'm still not impressed. He still has to prove himself. You know, he wasn't getting sacked left and right. He wasn't running for his life like the way Eli was his past few years before he ended up retiring. So there's absolutely no excuse for that quarterback position, which is the most important position, to not make it happen and for him to have a Pro Bowl year. There's no excuse. He's been set up more than ever right now with all of these people who we have on offense, from the O-line to the freaking receivers, running backs, whatever. There's absolutely no excuse for all of the Dumpster Dan fans out there. There's no excuse after this year. Cause, I mean, I'm not even giving them a pass. But for all the people who like number eight, guess what? After this season, or even midway through the season, if do not make the playoffs, he will be the sole reason why. Because defensively, they're making strides. Secondary, D-line, all that. I still feel like the linebacker situation still needs to be stepped up. But it all goes back to how good your quarterback can play. And Tampa Bay proved it. When Brady went to Tampa Bay, he was really the difference. I mean, Tampa Bay stepped it up. Yeah. You know, they did what they had to do draft-wise. They got guys on defense. They had a whole bunch of key pieces on offense. They got Fournette, and that was pretty much the missing piece right there, a great running back. But a great quarterback is the key when it comes to that. Yeah, defenses win championships, but your offense has to be able to do at least something. And it all goes back to Dumpster Dan and what he can or cannot do. And I feel like the kid still hasn't learned. It's his third year. There's no excuse. You got to know how to read defenses. You got to know how to throw the ball away. That's you don't even have to be a genius for that part. Just throw the ball away. If you're in trouble, get rid of it. You don't have to take sacks. And then he still has the baby hands problem where if you breathe on him, he fumbles. So it all goes back to that guy number eight. We're set up. The New York Giants right now, as much as I hate Ghetto Bum, don't even get me started on him, but forget him. It all comes down to what they do on the field. Dumpster Dan has to step it up. There's absolutely no excuse for him to say, oh, well, we got to execute better. No, you have to do your homework. Get in the gym, do what you got to do, and that 80-yard face plant is still replaying in my mind for eternity. I still would never get over that blown 80-yard run with the spell on his face. So he has to prove himself right now. Bleed blue. I'll pass it to the next person.
and I tell you, that was the very same game, Dre Ground, that Ingram – oh, did I say his name? Do I have to – oh, God.
Who?
No, Butterfingers. His name is Butterfingers.
Yes, Butterfingers dropped that damn pass. But also, Dre Graham, we're supposed to be real good right now because, and this is the part where DB gets upset, Because we're too much, according to our general manager, we're too much already tapped.
All right. Last year, despite the fact that the world essentially closed down mid-March, we had already had Indy. We had the All-Star Games.
I mean, you could hear the clam chowder clog in the back of his Boston throat. Come on.
Dre Graham, piggyback on what DB was talking about, man, about the, sorry, I got, for show purposes, employee number 8 for us.
Freudian slip there.
Listen, I've been saying it, man. I actually don't know how he gets a pass. He's a quarterback that can't take care of the ball. He's not throwing interceptions. He's a quarterback that fumbles the ball. You're supposed to have the best hand. I keep on telling people that's like a running back making it to the NFL, and he don't know what the A gap or the B gap is. He don't know which hole to run through. That's running back 101. I was a running back. That's running back 101, man. Like, the guy doesn't have any pocket presence. He can't feel the pocket breaking down on him. I tell people all the time, I don't know how the hell he made it to the NFL with no pocket presence. How do you do that, man? You're supposed to – and it's not going to get better it's not going to get better because pocket presence is learned from peewee all the way up to the NFL. You can't just get to the NFL and magically learn it in the NFL. It's too late. You 12 years too late.
That's a fact.
So, I mean, the only, and I tell people all the time, the only way that he's going to be successful at this point is if we have an offensive line that's the best offensive line in the history of the game playing on any level. They literally have to pitch a set of shutout all year, meaning he don't get sacked not one time the whole year. Because that's what it's going to take. That's literally what it's going to take. Because like DB said, you breathe on him, fumble. I don't know, man.
Can I pose a question? Okay, because part of me wants, and I don't do this normally, but part of me wants to sort of defend the quarterback here. But let me just ask this question just in general. Is it possible that the quarterback that was selected and is on this team right now was simply overvalued before he ever came here? And what I mean by that is that we have these criticisms of him in this context, but perhaps that was always going to be the case. We are asking perhaps him to be something that he simply isn't. And it's not his fault that he's not that. It's the person that over-evaluated his potential, whatever that may have been, and we are now blaming him for not being better. I'm a little confused by that sort of criticism, that he's not this, he's not that. Well, he may have never been that to start with. But we're blaming him for not being that. I don't understand the criticism, though.
Okay. That's a perfect question for the panel. Everyone, you guys already heard it. Was he overevaluated? Is that a good word? Is that a good way to say it? Overevaluated? Okay. Start with
you can use that or you can use overvalued. You can use either word.
Overvalued. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I love that. It's like that, you know, from the Edmund Murray English. Anyway, Lady Blue, do your thing. Answer that question, please.
I think he was too much of a high expectation, if you want to put it that way also. Maybe overvalued, yes, but as a whole, there was too much expectations for him to just come in and be perfect. And I don't know. I'm all for giving people a chance, but I agree with so many people that, you know, we're impatient New Yorkers. We're very impatient when it comes to our football team. We're not used to this shit that we're seeing how bad we've been playing, and we expect more. But I think he just came in with too high of expectations, and basically that. And I think management is not actually giving him any help. I mean, we've said it before, the offensive line. I mean, he could have every greatest receiver, running back, tight end, anybody in the NFL. If you take one perfect of every position from any team and put him in front of DJ, unless you have someone to protect him, it doesn't matter. He'll never find them. You can't have less than a half a second to find someone open, and that's the issue. So I don't blame everything on the quarterback. I blame it on that we don't have the correct tools around him. But I agree that overemphasizing him, yes, we have over. I mean, he's very overvalued, but I think he came in with too much expectation.
Lady Blue, let me follow. Can I follow you? Follow up on you with that. Do you believe the Giants had a plan of building a team at the time Jones was drafted? Because I believe the answer is no, and he was drafted for other reasons besides a plan being in place. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I don't believe they had a plan in place at all, or else we would have planned for Eli retiring and found someone to be underneath his wing and be learning while he was on the bench. I mean, you just don't draft someone immediately and say, hey, go out, the team is yours now. We never had a flipping plan, never. I mean, Eli was with us for how many umpteen years? So they never had a backup plan, which to me was the dumbest thing ever. I mean, look at Rodgers. Rodgers was on the bench for years learning behind Brett. So we should have had a plan for someone to be groomed by our quarterback, not just thrown into it and say, here, the team is now yours, do your thing, without anything. So, yeah, we never had a plan, and now we're trying to build a team around someone that I believe may not be that person to lead our team.
Sure. I'm going to give this the same question. Dre Graham, you answer. Then DB.
All right, listen, as far as being the overvalued or whatever, hell no. I really don't think that he's overvalued, because first of all, how do you overvalue a player that you literally only watched a couple of snaps in the Senior Bowl before you drafted him? That was the only scouting that you did on him. So how do you overvalue a player through that? And yeah, Carl, you're correct. It's not DJ's fault. It's Gettleman's fault. It's Gettleman's fault because Gettleman didn't scout him. He basically looked at him for a couple of snaps in the Senior Bowl and said, that's my guy. And another big problem is, I tell you guys all the time, Mara loves yes men. Okay, so we had to get a quarterback. And another problem was Eli set the bar so high as being a company man and doing everything that Mara wanted to do. It was literally impossible to get a quarterback, because no matter how good the quarterback was that came out that year, I'm pretty sure most of them had that little, you know, that little attitude in the background where if you tell them to do something, they didn't like it, they're going to speak their voice. DJ was the only quarterback in that class that was a spitting image of Eli. As far as his ways, how he went about doing things, he's a company man, he's a yes man, he's all about the system. Whatever you say is go. Whatever you say goes. And that also, you know, had a big part of us drafting him too. And not only, and Eli didn't sign off on it, but they asked Eli, was he a good player with work ethic? And Eli knew him, and Eli said, well, yeah, Eli didn't tell us to draft him, but Eli basically gave the okay. So that's where the problem is right there.
Okay. You're right. You're right. And DB.
So, basically, we're just sort of like put. So basically, we're putting like a square inside of a circle inside of a round. I mean, a circle inside of a square, basically.
And that's I'm getting ready. When my turn comes, but I want DB to go first. DB, go ahead, speak to Carl's question.
I was so happy, Carl, that you just made that reference about a square, because that's exactly what Dumpster Dan is, a square. Now, again, a bum can't draft himself. We know that. A homeless guy can't all of a sudden put on a tuxedo and be running the company. But again, this goes back to Dave Gettelbaum. This is the reason why I personally want him out of New York City permanently. This would be a ban. He shouldn't even be able to step into the state of New York. Because of this wizardry of ghetto bum, we got another bum playing quarterback. It's terrible. And like Elaine said, you know, Aaron Rodgers was under Brett Favre for a bit, and he was able to learn, do his thing, and then he stepped up. The way we sent Eli Manning off was atrocious. It was a mockery. So, of course, you know, all of a sudden you throw this new kid on the block who doesn't know anything, who wasn't good anyway, who was not ready to be a king. He was a pauper. He was a peasant. Why would you want a peasant to be king? But that's exactly what Dave Gettelbaum had. Fallen in love with this whatever guy from Duke, and it just did not make any sense. Eli Manning, when you look at him behind the scenes or when they show him in Giants videos and practice and all that, Eli Manning had personality. He had a swag about him. He had a chip on his shoulder. You know, no one was better in the 2-minute offense. I'll put Eli Manning against anybody any day. When it came to playoff Eli and 2-minute Eli, no one could stop that dude. Nobody wanted to play against the Giants offense when it was Eli Manning in 2-minute offense. Dumpster Dan can't even comprehend that. He can't comprehend that. So, yeah, part of it, it's not 100% his fault. He didn't draft himself. The guy, Dave Gettelbaum, this is the reason why so many people want call for his head. Because it's like, why did you bring a homeless guy from the back alley to be our leader when he can't? He's not equipped to be a leader. He's a homeless guy. He knows, like, kicking cans and eating rotten apples. That's all he knows. But the thing about it, too, is that, you know, to a degree as a human being, And as a professional athlete, when you're on that level, it's just like making a layup. Let's say you came from some no-name school that no one ever heard of in basketball, but now you're in the NBA. You get a pass from your teammate, make the layup. At least practice. Like, you know, when no one's around, go to the gym or go to the court. Try to make a layup. This guy, the pocket presence just isn't there, like Dre Graham said. There's no pocket presence with this guy. I don't foresee anything changing. Unfortunately, as much as we all bleed blue, this guy's still going to be a goose egg out there. You know, DJ stands for, like, I don't know, Gunscap Jones. Because, I don't know, you put anything in front of him, he's already set up. So, yeah, I believe he was 100% overvalued. But this all goes back to that front office. But Mara, I call him Imposter Mara. Because when I talk to Chris and Manny off the show, I call him Imposter Mara because this guy who's running the show right now is doing it all wrong. He allowed Gettelbaum to make these decisions, and then he brings in Dumpster Dan, and we're in shambles right now. We're a laughing stock. Like, no one at any other team in the league, when they think about the Giants, they're like, Daniel Jones? Are you kidding me? It shouldn't be like that. Even when we had Kent Graham and Dave Brown, it wasn't that much of a joke. And Dave Brown came from Duke. Dave Brown was not good. But
that's right. He was undrafted.
We had a little bit more of an offense, and Dave Brown had a little bit more wit about him than this Dumpster Dan guy. And that's the part that's really unsettling, because we're building – Dave Gettelbaum built all this stuff around a homeless guy from a back alley, and now we have to hope and pray that – he grows a brain overnight, learns pocket presence overnight. I mean, he has some athletic ability. He can run, but he's missing way too many things. He's a Swiss cheese guy, and we can't have a Swiss cheese guy playing quarterback for us, and that's the part that I think is most unsettling. So I'm going to pass it off. Sorry, take some turn.
No, you're good. Listen, I mean, guys, this is my answer. Okay, this is my answer, Carl. This is the answer I have. Every year, Steve and I and several other people, we evaluate the draft.
all right? Always the Giants draft, like years and years and years. And it's, for me, I do it in the old style composition notebooks that I used to write lyrics in, okay? Same style. I do it every year. Same stuff all the time. Because the key word to your question is value. That's what I'm getting at. And right here, when I looked at 2019, I noticed that he fractured a clavicle in the second game of the season at Duke, and he's been up and down. And I had him as a really good possible possible sixth-round draft choice for someone. I thought that he'd be good if he came out that way. Other factions had him as high as probably a early third, sometimes, you know, fifth rounder. So that was fair. It's all right. The problem is that for me is that I look at it from another angle. I look at it from the draft angle. For me, for him to be the sixth player taken in the NFL draft with his skill, well, he wasn't even the best there was to at the time. At the time, you had Drew Locke, who turned out to be a bust. You had Dwayne Haskins, who was still questionable. Ryan Finley, Will Greer. Can't remember anybody else. I'll tell you who we had. Who else was a prospect higher than him?
That draft was awful.
Clayton Thorson.
That draft, as it stands right now, is looking awful. The whole draft.
Clayton Thorson, who we signed to the practice squad last year. Was higher. He was evaluated higher than Daniel Jones. He was. And he ended up being drafted fifth, and he went to the Schmeagles across the river from me over there. And before he went on to the Cowgirls. Okay, so he bounced around. That whole quarterback draft is probably not what we expected it to be. But I do know one thing. That's not the guy we should have chosen. We could have done something else. As a matter of fact, in retrospect, if you really look. You know, hindsight being 2020, if you look back at that year and possibly last year, you can see that I believe, and this is just me, and I know I'm going to get some affirmation behind this, I believe Eli could have gone a couple of more years. I truly do. All you had to do was improve the line. I truly do. Did he lose a little bit off his arm strength? Yeah, he did, a little bit. But was his guile and determination and leadership ability intact? Hell yeah. Particularly when you compare it to what Phillip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger, his contemporaries, did last year, and they were average. I'll take an average Eli last year over Daniel Jones. And if you want any case in point to that, look at Colt McCoy in the Seattle game. I think that's enough. I love that question. So I had to go ahead and speak on it. Go ahead, Carl. I know you had something to say.
Having average Eli on a poor Giants team would still have made it poor. They would have been a four-win team with him, and they would have been a four-win team without him. So the saying he could have played a few more years when you had a team that was basically a five-win roster, like, what does that do for you? Just having him around for nostalgic reasons?
There would have been no point in that. See, I love you. Carl, you know I love you, man. But I got to tell you, man, Eli didn't fumble seven times within the red zone in 2 years. Okay? He wouldn't have done that. Blowing drives away like that, I can't see it. I just can't see it out of him. And all of us have watched the same thing with this guy for, 15 seasons? So that's
what are we saying that the team should have been better the last 2 years? We're not really saying that, are we?
this goddamn team should have been better the last 12 years.
The way that is being presented is if to suggest that the team should have been better the last 2 years. This team,
it would be if we had somebody at the helm on the field. I think that helps tremendously. I really do.
They won five games the last time he started a full season. I don't understand.
Okay, well, I'll tell you. I think. Well, wait a minute. This is not about me.
With an offensive roster that you can make a case, and I told Steve about this, you can make a case that the 2018 roster on offense is a better roster than what the 2021 roster is going to be putting out there.
You really think so?
Really? Go position by position.
I mean, honestly, I'm not asking.
Go position by position. We did him. Steve and I did this. I asked that question to Steve about 2 months ago. If you go position by position, you'd be surprised look at the skill position roster of the skill position players on the 2018 roster that started opening day. I was there that day.
That could be in the show. You know what? I am writing that down for 2 weeks from now. It's the show. And,
compare that starting roster that day to the 2021 starting projected roster right now. Look at the starters. Look at who is starting that day and who's going to be starting on that day. You would be surprised.
Carl, you're my man, but I don't believe you yet until we go through it. Okay, we'll do that. We'll do that the next show. We'll do that the next show. We will. Even though we just dumped on Dumpster Dan, this is his 24th birthday, so give him some kind of love today, okay? All right, listen, we're getting ready to do final thoughts. Okay, happy birthday, yeah. We're getting ready to do final thoughts. I'm going to start off with somebody that's been MIA the entire show. He knows who he is. And Maddie Dog.
Look, man.
Maddie Dog,
I'm speaking feedback in between haircuts, man. Yeah, my haircut here.
Come on, man. All I know give me a 35-second final thought, bro.
My final thought on this is me and Carl are going to go 30-style boxing when I meet Carl for that comment he just made. But I'm going to agree that over the last 2 years, if we had a better quarterback, I agree with you, Chris, if we had a guy that didn't blow games like we had Daniel Jones blow games, we're a better team.
Yeah.
And I think we win and make the playoffs last year. That's what I say.
All right. Daddy Dog. All right. No. Where's Dre Grab at? Dre Grab, give us a final thought, bro. A short one.
Yeah, I know. Short one. I'll give you some food for thought right quick. Okay. The past teams would have been better if the idiot Mara didn't bring an offensive coordinator in that wanted to put a West Coast type offense in, and we had a non-mobile quarterback. Damn. So it's all Mara.
That's it.
I don't give a damn.
I can get with that a little bit. But you and Barrow, you got some thing against Barrow. We're going to figure that one out, too. All right. Let me see. Where's my TB, you up, man. A quick one, bro. 30 seconds, I'm sorry.
I just got a Yahoo update here showing that, you know, Tim Tebow came back to the NFL. He's on the Jaguars. So Brandon Jacobs apparently put it out there that he's trying to get back into the league. He said he'll play defensive end for whatever
team.
Yeah,
we went on that.
I can't,
BB. Nah, that ship is sailed, bro.
Huh?
Okay. Lady Blue.
Maybe Brandon Jacobs will come play quarterback.
Lady Blue, say something sweet real quick, darling.
Real quick is I miss my Giants family. It's great to hear everybody's voice. And you know what? Screw this year already. I'm looking forward to when the Giants come here in Jacksonville because there's a party at my house in 2022.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Oh,
Lady
yeah.
Lady Blue, Carl, 25 seconds or so.
So as we say goodbye, I keep looking at the sportsbook over under for the Giant win total this season, and I keep seeing the number of 7, which would project to a 7-10 record, and it keeps making me wonder: is the optimism that everybody has something different than what is being projected? Because that keeps making me wonder if there are two different thought patterns going on here.
I don't think so. I don't know what they're saying, but we're gonna bring that up on the next show. The next show is a couple of weeks from now, okay? This is the OTA show, the number one show. They got Lady Blue and Carl and Dre Graham and DB Nation and Manny Dogs and myself, the professor. Yo, check us out everywhere on Google Podcasts, on iTunes, Podcast Republic, Stitcher, everybody, iHeartRadio, Spotify. Check us out on the Bleed Blue Show fan page. Hey, Sangre Azul, Steve, where you at? Thanks, everybody, for hollering at me. Appreciate you, man.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.